I have been seeking the Lord rather extensively in my prayer time the past 3-4 months, really. But I have been seeking the Lord for His guidance and for His direction for this church. And the Lord has been speaking to my heart some rather straightforward things. And I need to share them with you because you're part of this church. And this is your church. It's the church that Jesus has called you to. And I want you to know this tonight. God loves us with an everlasting love, a deep, abiding love. The Bible says He'll never leave us or forsake us. He shed His blood for us that we could have life. We sang this song, I Am Free. He shed His blood that the chains of bondage could be broken off of our life. We no longer have to live under sin's sin's bondage and sin's rewards. We don't have to live that way as Christians. We can live in newness of life. God has called His church to live in newness of life. It is not an accident that in 2 Corinthians, I believe 5:17, He says, you are new creatures in Christ. We are no longer the old people we used to be. God has called the church to something new and something vibrant and something healthy. The way we were under sin and the weight of sin and the burden of sin, the reward of sin, and God has set us free. We don't have to live like we used to. Amen. And I want to tell you, I've been seeking God for revival. How many wants to see revival? Three of you do. Well, hopefully after tonight, all of us will. I'll ask you again, how many wants to see revival? If we don't want to see revival, what are we doing in church? You say, well, I never heard a preacher say that to me like that. Well, why are we in church if we don't want what God wants? We're in church because we confess that we don't want to make hell our home and we want to live eternity with God in a wonderful heaven that He has created for us. Then God has truly done that. Jesus said, I'm going away to prepare a place for you. He said, let not your heart be troubled. I'm going away. He has prepared a place for us and He wants us to live in such a way that it brings glory. Say glory. Glory to His name here on the earth. Now listen to me very carefully. Revival starts in the church. I thought revival was just when the Holy Spirit falls. No, that's just when the Holy Spirit touches us. Revival starts in the church. And it starts with the people of God. It doesn't start with the sinners. They don't have life. Reviving, the word revive means reviving something that was there. So God is looking to revive the church. This church. I don't want to play church. I am not sold out. I haven't dedicated my life so that we can play church. There's a lot of things I could be doing. But I chose to do what God wants to do. I sacrifice my time. I sacrifice my life. I sacrifice prayer for people. I do a lot of things. I'm not looking for that kind of a pat on the back. But what I'm saying, I do this because I love God. I love people. And I love what God loves. And we got to get on the same page as God. God is looking to revive His church. And I want to tell you how revival comes tonight. I've been asking God. I said, God, I guess I was thinking that revival came some other way than the way the Bible teaches it. But God has really shown me in His Word how revival comes. And God said, preach it. Tell it. And people, it's up to people. If they want revival, they'll do what My Word says. We say, Lord, send revival. But I want to tell you tonight, revival begins with you and me. We have to be revived first. And for that to happen, God's people need to look deep within themselves and repent of those things that are inhibiting or holding back revival. Psalms 85:6 says, will you not revive us again that your people may rejoice in you? Did you know when the church is not revived, There's no attraction for people to come to church. When the church is not living any different than the world, there's no attraction for people to come to church. Hey, I can go live like a heathen out in the world. Why do I want to come to church? We got to learn that God, the church is about what God wants. Revival begins with us, God's people. Why does revival tarry, not come? Often because God's people fail to repent. The church is full of people who need to repent. I'm not beating nobody up, but I'm telling you, if you really want God working in your life tonight, it has to come only one way, and that's through repentance. Because Acts chapter 3, turn there with me real quick. Acts chapter 3 verse 19 says it very clearly to us. Peter preached a great message after the Holy Ghost had fell down. Well, I thought that was a revival. No, that was not revival. That was the Holy Ghost coming down, giving people power to be witnesses, live the life. Look what it says, Acts chapter 3, verse 19. It says, "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." In other words, when we repent, our attitudes and our minds are changed and we're converted and our sins are blotted out or washed away. And then times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord. 1 John 1, 9. I'll read that to you if you want to turn there real quick. First John 1, 9. It's a famous verse of Scripture that we quote. We like to quote. Now look what it says. It says, "If we confess our sins," in other words, repent, "He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us." Say cleanse. Cleanse, cleanse means a refreshing, a reviving. I don't know about you, but I've worked in some hot hay fields, and at the end of the day, I was so eat up with the scratches and the itchies and the dirt and all the things that come with that. At the end of the day, a shower was very refreshing. Or you've just done a hard day's labor and you're just sweating and look what else it says though. It says, "To cleanse us from all unrighteousness." When we repent, God removes the filth. He removes the unrighteousness. Now we are the righteousness of God, no doubt about it. But if we're living like this, like the world, then we're living unrighteous. And when we're living unrighteous, the Bible says He'll remove it if we repent. So repentance comes, God's cleansing, God's refreshing comes when we truly get serious with God. Now look what Isaiah said in chapter 6, verse 1. I want you to follow along with me tonight or listen real carefully. And I'm going to read this out of the NIV because I like what it says here. It's easier to read. Some of the Old Testament, sometimes just pronouncing some of the words is a big chore. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 says, "In the year," and this is key, of how revival works. And Isaiah found this out firsthand. He was a prophet. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of His robe filled the temple." Now verse 5, skip down there. It says, now Isaiah, when he seen Jesus, he realized his uncleanness. He said, "Woe unto me," I cried. "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it, he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin is atoned for." Verse 8, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send and whom will go for us?' And I said, 'Here am I, send me.'" I want to tell you something. Revival comes first of all when we have awareness of personal sin in our life. Second of all, when we repent. Third of all, it positions us to say, "Lord, here I am, send me. Let me tell people about your goodness." But if you're caught up in sin, and sin is your lot in life, you're not going to tell people about God because you're ashamed of the way you're living. "Here I am, send me." Isaiah was ashamed of his unclean lips. He said, "I'm a man of unclean lips." But God has the remedy. He cleansed him. So revival begins with us. Isaiah felt his own sin. He repented. God took away his sin. Then Isaiah was ready for God to send him out and to touch others touch others and touch the others for God. Now listen, how many wants to be used of God? How many wants to reach other people for Jesus? It will only come when we get our hearts right with God. You will not have the boldness or the courage to witness for God as long as you're caught up in sin. Listen, the remedy for sin is paid for. You're free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Now, you may not know it and you may not have worked it out in your life yet, but if you'll truly repent, you'll begin to see. I'm telling you, when I got serious with God, when I first got born again, sin fell off of me like shackles. So what then should we be repenting of? Well, Jesus has the answer for that. Go. I want you to go with me to Revelation chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. I'll read it to you. And then I want to... who has an NIV they'll let me borrow tonight? Can I borrow your NIV? You can go along with this one, but a bigger one's easier for me to follow. That's got the chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I want to read this to you because this is... How many believes what Jesus says? How many believes that he is the founder of the church? How many knows he died for the church? He shed his blood so that we would have a church as we know it today. Amen. And he knows what he's doing. And he knows what's going on in his church. Does he not? He has oversight over his church. Does he have the right to speak into our lives? Does he have a right to tell us what's wrong in our lives? This is straight from Jesus. This ain't from pastor. This is from Jesus. The angel of the church in Ephesus writes, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, talking about the churches, and walks among the seven golden lampstands. You mean Jesus walks among the lampstands? Absolutely. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men that you have tested, those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardship for my name and have not grown weary. Now listen, up until this point, he tells them, says, I am the one that walks among you. I've seen what's going on in your church. I see what's going on in your life. I see that you persevered. I see that you've tested and found the false apostles to be false. He's commending them, isn't he? Now listen what else he says, though. He gives them a positive, but then he comes back and he says, but yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Look what he tells us. Remember the height from which you have fallen. And look what he says. And I like what this sister did in her Bible. She circled it. Repent. And do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. Amen. What is he saying? Well, he's saying, I commend you for the good things you've done, but he's saying you've lost your first love. You have fallen from the heights that you once walked with me. You need to repent of what? A loveless, formal relationship with the Lord. Business as usual, walking like you're at your job or something with the Lord. Listen to me. The first commandment says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind and all your soul and all your strength. He tells us that if we put anything before him in our love relationship, first and foremost with Jesus, it's a love affair. We're in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. If it's not love, it's formality. If it's not love, and that's what he says, you people have fallen into a trap. You're walking as Christians, but you're going through the motion, but your heart's not in it. God don't want a heartless church. He wants us to be passionate about him, passionate about the things of God, passionate about what he likes and passionate about the things he dislikes. Working hard for God, but not centered on loving God. Remember the first and great commandment, and that's to love the Lord your God deeply. Is our relationship with God work focused or love focused? If it's not love centered, then we need to repent. I'll confess. Because as a pastor, there's a lot of work to do. Especially when people won't help me. Sometimes people just sit there and let you work yourself to death and just wonder, why is Pastor grouchy today? Why, when he called me, is he unloving? He wasn't the nicest man in the world when I called him. Well, sometimes I get tired. But sometimes I can get so caught up in the works of Christianity, the works of church business, the works of being a pastor that I don't spend the right time I need to spend with God. I don't get the prayer time in I need to. I don't get my Bible study time in I need to. And guess what happens? The works, I heard a preacher say on the radio today, and he says, you call me at 2:00 in the morning. He said, I'll be the devil. What is he saying? He's saying, I'm human.
That's exactly what he's saying.
Sometimes we get so caught up in the works of Christianity, the works of church, the business part of it, the formality part of it, that we lose our relationship with the Lord. Listen to me. This is all about a relationship. Jesus died so he could have a relationship. He said, I want to come and I want to make my abode or my living in you with my Father. And I want to commune with you and fellowship with you. God loves us when we love Him back. Last night, I determined, work has been terrible lately. I mean, anything that could go wrong has went wrong, and what seemingly couldn't go wrong, somebody caused something to go wrong. And when I leave at the end of the day, sometimes I'm just exhausted from the mental part of it. And last night when I got home, my son's been sick, and I've been tending to him, and I said, God, I've got to get along with you. Well, the flesh said, just chill out. Get up in that recliner and relax. You deserve a break today. My spirit yearned for the Lord. I was lonely inside, missing God because I miss my time with Him. And I determined, I'm jumping in that shower. I was tired. That shower kind of perked me up. I began to sing unto the Lord, and the Spirit of God began to connect with me. Folks, the Holy Spirit has come to be our helper. The Bible said He walks alongside of you. That's what helper means, on the right side of us. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit comes to help us live this life. God has not left us without His resources. And the Holy Spirit began to, and it says, be filled with the Spirit in Ephesians. It says, singing songs and hymns and spiritual songs unto the Lord. And I began to get filled with the Holy Ghost. And before long, tongues began to come out of me. And I began to pray in the Holy Ghost. And before long, man, I was feeling good. And I got out of that shower and I went straight to my prayer closet. How many's got a prayer? It's a place where I meet God. And He's waiting on you. How many's ever been ignored by their husband? Or loved one. I mean, just ignore you, and you're longing for their companionship. That's not a good feeling. Yet we do that to the Lord. I got along with God, and I began to pray, and I began to sing. I had a little bit of soft worship music going real low in the background, and I just began to pray, and I began to speak in tongues. I began to pray for the church. I began to pray for people. I began to pray for my son. I just began to worship God for who He is and His fellowship and His love. And then I got quiet, and I could just feel the Lord just embracing me with his love and gratitude that I wanted to spend some time with Him, and I was so edified. Then when I got up from there after spending about 45 minutes, you don't have to spend days on end in there with the Lord. The Lord knows you've got things going on in life. But after I got up 45 minutes later, I went straight, grabbed my Bible, and did you hear the flesh? The flesh was whispering in the background, go ahead and watch some TV. I said, no, sir, not tonight. God first. I began to read my word, and I got edified. I read the Sermon on the Mount last night in Matthew. And I begin to see the heart of Jesus all over again. And God will begin to speak to you. He is real. Or otherwise I wouldn't be up here. So God says, don't leave your first love. You remember what it was like when you first got born again. You couldn't get enough time with the Lord. You couldn't get enough time praying. You couldn't get enough time reading the Word. You were excited about the things of God. And somehow or another, if you're not careful, the world and the cares of this life will begin to grind away at your relationship with the Lord. And for long, you feel like you used to feel in the world. And you think, well, there's nothing really to this Christianity. Well, there's not. You don't put nothing in it. You get nothing out. Is your relationship with God works focus or love focus? If not, love centered, then repent and do your first works. Now, Revelation chapter 2, verse 12 through 16. This is Jesus again speaking to His church. And he has the right to do that to the church at Pergam, to the angel of the church at Pergam, write. These are the words of him who has a sharp, double-edged sword. I know where you live. Say that with me. God knows where you live. He knows where you live. There's no need in trying to hide your ways from God because he already knows. He knows where you live. Look what he says. I know where you live, where Satan has his throne. Yet you remain true to my name. You did not renounce your faith in me. Even in the days of Antipas, my faithful witness who was put to death in your city where Satan lives. Let me just touch on this for a minute. Here in America, we're not persecuted for the gospel that much, other than maybe a few funnies at us once in a while. People poke at us. But we're not being persecuted like they are in other countries. We're not being put to death like they are in other countries. And yet, we have it made here in America compared to other countries. And yet, they'll serve him to death. And we will leave a church over a drop of a hat over nothing. And we'll get mad at God over nothing. And people, we're just reading about a pastor, and I believe it was in Charisma. Maybe you read it. Pastor Yee was his name. I think he spent 14 or 17 years in China prison. And listen to this. They stripped him naked. They put him in the sewage pit. They pooped on him. They peed on him. And he never would renounce Jesus Christ. You let somebody look at you wrong in this church, and buddy, you're out of here. I don't have to put up with that. Back to where I was. That just came out. Because I'm telling you, he says, you've lived in an area where Satan has his throne. He's saying there's a stronghold in that area, yet you remain true to my name. You did not renounce me. Did you know sometimes at your workplace where it's so full of sin and worldliness that if you remain true, even though it's an area that Satan has his throne, that you don't renounce him in your faith and you stay strong and walk for him, that he gets glory out of that? He said, you'll be a faithful witness. And he said, even unto death, where Satan lives. Now listen, verse 14. Nevertheless, there we go again. He says, I'm saying some nice things, but I want to straighten some other things out. I have a few things against you. You have people there who hold the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to entice the Israelites to sin by eating food sacrificed to idols and by committing sexual immorality. Now listen to this. Likewise, you also hold the teachings of the Nicolaitans, and she's got it in her Bible again. I believe you're saved, sister. Repent. And she circled it again. I'm glad I asked for your Bible tonight. Repent. Amen. Repent, therefore, otherwise I will soon come to you and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. The angel said to the church of Pergam, I'm going to point out a couple of things. Verse 14, I have a few things against you. You have people there who hold the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to entice Israelites to sin by eating food sacrificed to idols and committing sexual immorality. Likewise, you also have those who hold the teaching of the Nicolaitans. Repent, therefore. Listen to me. Here's several things he's saying here. We need to repent of bad teaching. I'm telling you something now. If you're not careful and you watch every TV program, every radio station that you listen to, it's not God. Exactly. There are preachers that are up preaching right now that anything goes and God's grace covers it. No, it don't. He said you need to repent from this bad teaching. And Jesus said in the Gospels, be careful what you hear and how you hear it. Why? Because we live according to what we believe much of the time and which comes from teaching that we receive. You are a product of what you think and you're a product of what you've been taught. Believers also may need to repent of, listen to this carefully, sexual immorality. Now listen to this carefully. You wouldn't think God would have to tell the church this, but He does. You wouldn't think God would have to tell the church in Galatians chapter 5, he says, the works of the flesh, one of them was sexual immorality, adultery, fornication. He says, such will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. It can't be any plainer than that. This is Jesus speaking. Don't kill the messenger. Now listen to me carefully, because some of you think, well, but people do it not just with their bodies, but with their minds and their eyes. What kind of movies are we watching? Or TV do we watch? Not only that, what are we getting into on the computer? Are we having cyber sex on the computer? You mean Christians will do that? Are we letting pornography come into our home? I check what my son, who's 21 years old, I check what he gets on. Now listen, this is straight preaching, but this is straight from the throne of heaven. And Jesus is saying, it's time that the church wakes up. What kind of language do we use? Is our mouth so filthy we're like Isaiah, I'm a man of unclean lips? If so, then Jesus commands us to repent. And believers need to repent also of this Nicolaitanism, which is an exaggerated doctrine of Christian liberty. Brother Miller and I know of a pastor who no longer is in this area, thank God, who used to teach that you didn't have to ask God to forgive you. And that's directly in violation of the Word of God, who used to teach that anything goes, that you can just do anything you want to. The grace of God covers you. That's not Bible. Read your Bible. The Bible's clear. Jesus doesn't make it complicated. He makes it plain so we can understand. Listen to what he says here in Romans chapter 6, verse 1. This is Paul speaking to he's done told them all of the goodness of God, the grace of God, and all these things, and how we're free, and how Jesus bore our sins and everything. Now look what he says in verse 6. He said, the grace of God is something that can't be earned. It's something that God gave us because he loves us. But look what he says. He said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Look what he said now. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into death, his death? Now listen to this. Therefore, we are buried with him by the baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of God of the Father, so, even so, we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not no longer serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. The Nicolaitans taught that anything goes. You could do whatever you want to. God's grace is sufficient. But that's in direct violation of what Jesus said throughout the Bible. He would not give us 1 John 1:9 and all the other scriptures. He commands us to turn from wickedness if it was okay to live. God didn't save you from sin to leave you in sin. Now Revelation chapter 2, verse 18, verse 20 through 22. Here's some more of God telling the church, correcting some of their doctrine, correcting some of their ways. And sometimes we need God to speak into our life. I want to tell you tonight, as pastor, God speaks straight to me. Because I got ears to hear. I don't always like what the Lord says. But you know what? If I've been hateful to my wife or somebody and been out of character as a Christian, and God says you need to go repent to that person, I don't always like to do it. My flesh don't want to do it. But I tell you what, my commander and my chief and my Lord and my Savior directs me to do it. I humble myself under the mighty hand of God. We got to be willing. We got to be willing. And revival comes when we do that. We need to repent of tolerating also things in our life that we know are ungodly. Listen to Revelation chapter 2. I'm going to read verse 18 and 20 through 22. He says, the angel of the church of Thyatira write, and then skip down to verse 20. I have this against you. You tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess. By her teaching, she misleads my servants into sexual immorality and the eating foods sacrificed to idols. Verse 21. Now listen to what God says. God is merciful. Say that with me. God is merciful. Look what he says in verse 21. I have given her time to repent of her immorality. I want to tell you tonight, God will always give us a space to repent. God will always give us an opportunity to repent. And He will warn us. God sees you going off a cliff, He's going to put road sign after road sign and put people in your life that's going to say stop, 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 stop to try to keep you from going there because He loves you. Look what else it says. So I will cast her, He says, but she was unwilling. Unwilling to what? Repent. Now listen to the results of this. So I will cast her on the bed of suffering. I will make those who commit adultery with her suffer intensely unless they repent of her ways. That's strong. We need to repent of tolerating evil influences among us and in our lives. Listen to me very carefully. You are the master to your own life. You open or close doors to influences in your life. Nobody else in here does it but you. When you're watching the TV and something you know that is wrong comes on, the Holy Spirit quickens to your heart that something ain't right about that. Am I right? I seen that. I'm going to bump it on. And you are the one that determines whether or not you let it in your life. You are also the one who determines whether you let people in your life that you know are going to influence you for evil. I had a dear sister tell me in this church, and I respect her for what she said. She said, I said, where's such and such? She said, well, I had to part ways with her. And I said, why? She said, because she was a bad influence in my life. She was wise enough to see it and do something about it. We have to be willing to go the way of the Lord. I don't know about you, but at the end of days, it's all going to be worth it. And I'm telling you, any life that's led of sin has a reward. He says here, unless that person repents, they're going to go on a bed of suffering, and I will make those who commit adultery with her suffer intensely. Sin has reward. Sin has reward. Sin does three things. It costs us more than we want to pay. It makes us stay longer than we want to stay. And I forgot the third one. But it's evil. It has a reward. And we don't want it in our lives. And if we're not careful, the devil will slip things in our lives. But we got these things are plain. He tells her, repent of your immorality. Listen to me. We've been delivered from that. The Bible says, know ye not that you are the temple of God. Say, I'm the temple. I'm the temple. That, he says, do not mix yourself with harlotry. He says, how can the Spirit of the Lord live there and harlot at the same time? We cannot do that as the church. Repenting of sexual immorality. It's a repeat warning here. Therefore, it's important to Jesus. And like I said in Galatians 5, verse 19, it says we will not inherit the kingdom of heaven if we do that. Now look, he also repeats food sacrificed to idols, which is not meaningless to us. And again, he repents of subjecting yourself to erroneous teaching. He says, by her teaching, she misleads my servants. What was she teaching them? Is okay. God understands. God don't understand. And let me tell you something. Don't tell me you can't. Stop. Because God created you. He knows what you're capable of doing and not doing. We can stop. And we can do what God says. Strong tonight, isn't it? We don't need to subject ourselves to erroneous teaching. Otherwise, how can we be influences for revival in our community if we have the wrong message? How can I get up and tell people about Jesus if I'm not teaching them the right Jesus? Did you know in Galatians, Paul said if they bring any other message other than the one that has been preached, let that person be cursed. You know what I've done before the Lord? I went before the Lord and I said, God, is there any error in my teachings? I do not want to stand before the Lord at the end of the days and God say, God say, you led people astray with your erroneous teachings. It's a serious business. We're talking about eternity here. We're not talking about, well, it's going to cost you a couple of bucks. We're talking about something that lasts for eternity. We're talking about lives that'll live forever, either in heaven or hell. And we can't be a good influence for revival to our community if we have the wrong message. Revelation chapter 3, verse 1 through 3, and I'm getting close. To the angel of the church in Sardis write, I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. I want that to sink in just a minute. The angel to the church in Sardis write, I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. What does that mean? It means we need to repent of surface Christianity. It's a good reputation that does not describe who we really are inside. Or who we really are inside is not represented outside. It is what we call hypocrisy. Listen to me carefully. We need to listen to the admonitions of the Lord tonight. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you're dead. There's no worse place to be than to be a professing Christian going through the motion, but spiritually you're dead. Look what he says. Verse 2. This is out of NIV. Wake up! Strengthen what remains and is about to die. For I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. Obey it and repent. I want you to know something. Jesus saw through their outward appearance and discerned their real state of being. I want you to know something tonight. You may kid yourself. You may kid your friends. You may kid your church-going friends. You may kid the pastor. But you don't kid God. God sees right through us. He knows when I'm playing games. And He calls me on it. You say, you mean sometimes you get an attitude, Pastor, and God, yes, sir. And God will jerk a knot in my neck and say, I see right through that. I know your games. Quit playing those games. You know better. I said, God, but I want to stew on this a little while longer. He said, nope, you don't have that luxury anymore. Listen to me. God sees through all of the outward appearances and discerns right to the core of our being. He knows who we really are. The unbelievers we're trying to reach will also see through us. One of the things that's been said about church when people come to church is, why don't I want to go around that bunch? They ain't no different in the world. Why do I want to go to that church? That church is no different than the world. Listen to me. If we don't believe it enough to live it, then how are we going to convince anybody else to live it? The unbelievers we're trying to reach will see through us too if our faith is not real and vibrant on the inside. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14 through 17. To the angel of the church at Laodicea. Hey, Jesus said, I died for my church and I'd build my church, and He has a right to come in and correct His church. And if the Lord was up here tonight standing at the pulpit reading these things to us, He has every right to tell us what's wrong in our lives. And I want Him to tell me. To the angel of the church of Laodicea write, verse 15, I know your deeds, that you're neither hot nor cold, or cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. Verse 17, you say I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Listen to what he says. There's a lot of meat in here. He says, you're neither hot or cold, but I wish you was one or the other. But because you're lukewarm, you're neither hot nor you're cold. And let me tell you what that lukewarm means. It means you're indifferent to the things of God. They don't move you either way. You know, I've got up here and I preach my heart out, and I see people looking at me like, ho, ho, ho. See you maybe later. Don't bother me at all. Never faze me. Your heart's not right. The gospel has to move our hearts. And he says, you're neither hot or cold. And God says, I don't like that place. I hate lukewarmness. He said, I would rather you be cold than lukewarm. which is saying I can deal with the coldness, but I can't deal with your lukewarmness. And look what else he says. This is what happens to Christians. And this is where this is a gospel that is in error. And I'm telling you tonight, if you've bought into that lie, this is a gospel of the Nicolaitans. This is a gospel of error that God does want us to prosper. But look what he says, because he prospered them. He says, but you say, verse 17, I am rich and I have acquired wealth and don't need a thing. Let me tell you something. The gospel is a lot more than financial blessings, material blessings. Because you couldn't come into this world with nothing, and you'd be sure you won't leave this world with anything. Even if they stick your casket full of money, you're not taking none of that with you. And we somehow in the church, with this modern day Christianity, and I preach blessings, you won't hear cursings come out of me on people because I believe God blesses us. But he says, don't you get hung on this thing that just because you got the blessings in your life that everything's okay, because you can have a good job and work for Christ, sir. That don't mean you're a Christian. And that don't mean you're living right. Now, it is a good sign when the blessings are coming, but God, don't put your trust in the blessings. Right. Put your trust in God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for straightening out our messed up doctrine. You said, I have acquired wealth and I don't need a thing. Let me tell you something. You need God. And money can't buy you everything. It can't buy you favor. Sometimes it can if people cheat, but I'm talking about the kind of favor God can give you. And, you know, don't think for a minute just because you got a little money in your pocket that God thinks He winks at everything else in our life. He does not do that. God is not like a politician where you can buy Him off. He's just not that way. And I want to tell you something. Because we're humans, we look at each other and we think of God in that realm. But God is God. And God is holy and righteous. And He has the right to speak into our lives. And He has a right to tell us what's wrong in our lives. We need to repent of lukewarmness. The gospel's more than material blessings. We need to stop being indifferent to the things of God. I want to tell you tonight, our indifference is sending millions to hell. Because we won't get hot for God. And if we'd get hot for God, we couldn't wait to tell somebody about Jesus. And we wouldn't care what everybody else thought. That's right. You know, there are other religions where they're more dedicated and more passionate about their religion, even though it's false, than Christians are. That's sad. There are other religions. I deal with people all the time. I never fought another person's religion. I don't agree with it. I think they're wrong and in error, and they're heading towards hell. And I do try to witness to them. But I'm telling you, I've watched their life, and they're consecrated to their religion. But comes Christianity, we just think God takes any old thing, our leftovers. Let me tell you something. Remember Cain and Abel? You remember Cain and Abel's story? One brought the blessing, brought his offering to the Lord, and it was his first fruits, meaning it was right off the top, God, I give you the best. The other one brought him his leftovers, and God rejected him. Do you think he's any different today? He said, I change not. Come on, church. I change not. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's not interested in leftovers. He wants your whole heart. That's why he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart. All your soul, all your mind, all your strength. Give Him everything you got, and He'll give you everything He's got. The reason sometimes we don't experience everything God's got, because we just give Him God leftovers. You know what He told, when He said, I reject your offering, and He went away sad, and He says, if you'll do well, good things will happen to you, and I'll accept you. Who wants to be accepted by Jesus? I do. I want everything God has. But it only comes when we line ourselves up with what the gospel tells us. Folks, God has so much for us. And He wants to do so many good things for us. And He wants to love on us and bless us and fill us with His glory and His blessings and His presence and His peace, His joy. You know what others are drawn to? To beliefs that are held and lived out passionately. And some, like Isaiah, we need to come to grips with sin and repent. a loveless, formal Christianity. Come on up, Sherry, if you will. Of holding bad teaching, of every trace of sexual immorality. The Bible said, not let it be once named among you. That, and the Bible tells us, flee immorality. Say that with me, flee. That means when you're going through the TV program and some naked dude or lady flashes by you, you go, oh God, cleanse me and turn that thing. I do that. I'm telling you, you can't help but flip from channel to channel, not see something on the regular TV programs. It's a bed. That is the whole episode's all about, leading up to getting in the sack. Sex in the City. Listen to me. That'll send you to hell. I don't want to go to hell. You can sin with your eyes and your mind. Jesus said if you lust in your heart, you're doing it. Don't come with that. She says, well, I did it. I might as well go ahead and do it. No! He said, flee sexual immorality. And we got to flee from it. The devil's luring us into that junk. I go through the TV program and you can't help see some girl doing exercise, some skimpy thing, and your carnal flesh wants to woo, but your spirit man says, get away from that, it's run, flee, go, turn it off, go pray. Pray that you do not enter into temptation, the Bible says. We need to get serious with our God. We need to get serious about church. We need to get away from this loveless, formal Christianity. We come to church, we won't even praise God. I got to pump people up to get them to praise God. And the reason is because all Monday through Saturday, they haven't repented and hadn't got the sin out, and there is no joy. Because the Bible says in His presence, say in His presence, there's fullness of joy. I'm telling you, if you'll keep God in your life, you won't have a problem with depression. You won't have a problem with depression. You won't have a problem with the devil because he's not going to stick around where Jesus is. And we need to get away from this bad teaching that we're hearing out on TV now. And the Bible says in the last days they would be giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. It's a devil that wants you to go to that fiery hell with him, and he'll tell you everything's okay and sin's all right. Go ahead. Yeah, God will let you go. I'm telling you, there's a reward for sin. And it lasts for eternity. Jesus died that we wouldn't have to make hell our home. And then, tolerating evil influences in our lives. If you know somebody's leading you away from God, just like the reason God called Abraham out of the land that he lived in because he had to separate him. The reason God took the children out of Egypt was because he had to separate them. The reason God separates Christians from unbelievers, he said, don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers, because if you do, you can't play in a mud hole without it getting on you. You can't get around people that are evil without them spirits trying to attach themselves to you. And if they're hell bent on going to hell, then you're just going to have to cut them loose. And we need to repent of living just Christianity on the surface. Either we love Him or we don't love Him. And He knows. Of lukewarmness, neither hot or cold for the Lord. Man, we need to get hot for God. And then like Isaiah, we can say, I'm ready. Here am I. Send me, Lord. You know, it seems that the Lord is calling the church in America to repent. And you know why? Every nation on the earth, God is moving. He's having trouble moving in America because the only thing God can tell us to do right now is get on our knees and cry out and ask God to forgive us. I want you to stand to your feet. And I want you to just come up here to the altar. I don't care what sin you got in your life. That's between you and God. And I want you to let God, just ask God tonight. If there's things in your life, say, God, cleanse me. Everything from tongue backbiting to gossip to evil stuff. Sin is sin. And I just want you to pray out. As you pray the Lord, I'm going to pray. And let's just ask God to come in and cleanse us. And let's ask God to set this church on fire. And let's ask God to save sinners. But we got to be saved ourselves. Father, I thank you tonight for your word. I thank you, God, that you're still holy and your standard is holiness. And I thank you, God, that you're forgiving your church. God, we repent. We repent of cold Christianity. We repent of formality, God. We repent of not being hot for you, God. We repent of letting evil in our lives. We repent, Lord, of everything that's unlike you. God, just like you told the churches in Revelations their problems, God, reveal to your people the areas of their lives they need to ask for forgiveness and cleansing, God. And then God set our church ablaze for you that we can win souls and it'll stink, God. And we want to make this a holy habitation for you to dwell, Lord, so that people can come in here and they can feel and know the presence of God. God, cleanse us, deliver us, set us free from every evil force, every evil spirit, God. God, cleanse our minds, cleanse our hearts, cleanse our spirits, cleanse our flesh, God. Forgive us, Lord. Refresh us, Lord. Refill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus. I ask it in Jesus' name, God. Forgive us. Forgive us, Lord. Set your church afire again, Lord. Cause revival to happen here in America. Cause revival to happen here at Victory Worship Center, Lord. Lord, turn our hearts once again towards you and away from the draw of the world and away from all of the evil in the world, God. God, let us be a light that's upon a hill that's shining brightly for you tonight. I pray this in Jesus' name. And God, I know you want to bless your people. Bless your people, Lord. Cleanse your people. Strengthen your people. Fill them with the Holy Ghost, God. Give them the power on high to be witnesses for you, Lord, in the earth, God. God, cleanse us and deliver us and cause us to walk upon the high places, Lord. Let us be true witnesses for you in this earth, oh God. Help us, oh God. We're your people. And we're crying out for your help, God. And we're crying out for your deliverance, God. Thank you, God, for cleansing us. Thank you, Lord, for cleansing us. Cleanse us and make us holy once again, Lord. Thank you, God, that there be no unholiness in us, Lord. That all of our lump be holy, God. Thank you, God, for touching these people. Touching this church, Lord. From the top to the bottom. God, touch us. The leadership, Lord. The elders in this church, Lord. The young, the old, the teenagers, God. Touch us all, God. Set us on fire. Come down again from heaven with the Holy Spirit. Pour it out in our spirits, Lord. Pour it through us with living waters, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Oh, we bless you tonight, Jesus. We magnify your name, Lord. God, touch our families. Touch our lost loved ones, God. Let our lives shine unto them, God. Help them, God, to come to you. Drawn by your Spirit, God. Let our lives be a witness for you, Lord. Let them see Jesus when they see us. And let the convicting power of the Holy Ghost draw them into the kingdom, God. And save them from a fiery hell, Lord. God, deliver your church from the bondage. Set us free, God, in every area of our lives. Transform our lives, God. Fill us with power from on high that we can be great witnesses for you, Lord. Heal your sick bodies in the church, God. Remove every obstacle in our lives, God, that's unlike you. And God, let your church in America rise again. Let us be that bright light that we once were, Lord. Revive us, oh God. Revive us. Jesus' wonderful name. Oh, Rabbi Sende Bushukora la Matisaya. Oh, Rabbi De Labranda Sidi. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Touch your church. Touch your people once again, God. Fill us afresh and anew. Let times of refreshing come from your presence, Lord. Oh God, we love you tonight. We praise you, Father. We thank you, Holy Spirit. We receive your correcting hand, Lord. Lord, we ask you to cleanse us. Deliver us, Lord. Forgive us, Lord. Lord, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.